Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here, the blessing of fellowship, the gift of your word, and the wisdom that's always us for the asking. We should ask more often. In Jesus' name, amen. James Montgomery Boyce, I believe, is the one that quoted some time ago from, I think it's 10th Street Presbyterian, downtown Philly, that all of life demonstrates Bible doctrine. So I'm a reader. I read signs and things like that. And I occasionally run into this sign. I don't know if you've ever seen this one, No Fear. It's usually on some big, high-powered truck, a dually with a, you know, a 10-speed rear axle or something. And I thought that was kind of fascinating. So I looked it up because when I was in elementary school, I belonged to the Look It Up Club. I had this little button with a question mark in the middle. And it said, we never guess, we look it up. Now, back then, there wasn't any internet. So I can really look it up now. So I looked up No Fear, and I found out that they were started back in the 1989 by two gentlemen, and it was actually extreme sports, you know, like motocross and things, and they had all kinds of signs and things. And apparently, interestingly enough, they declared bankruptcy in 2011, but they're still in business, so you know, figure that out. Well, driving in today, right before right around the Friesen Frizz Road, coming east on 23, I saw a sign for Capital Blue Cross. You know what it says? Live fearless. So I'm thinking, is there any biblical precedent for this kind of stuff? So I want to spend a little time this morning thinking about no fear from God's word. Because I think sometimes there's no fear, and I'm not convinced that sometimes there isn't, too. So from the world's view, how's it look? We're reading Romans 3:18, and I want to read a couple verses ahead of it. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, none that understands, none that seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way. Notice that, all going out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that does good, no, not one. Their throat's an open sepulcher. Their tongues they have used deceit. Their poison of asps is under their lips. These are not nice people. Their throat, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction, misery in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God in their eyes. No fear. The word there is phobos. We get the word phobia from it. There's all kind of phobias out there. By the way, the number one phobia is supposedly speaking in public, so I thought that was interesting. And we do know a lot about this. We know a lot about the discussion. Well, the fear of God is a reverence, certainly. As a matter of fact, one of the authors describes it as this. It's a reverential affection for God, peculiar to the children of God, a sense of divine goodness. It springs from grace, not nature. It is only implanted in the heart in conversion. The most amazing thing about those verses in Romans is the all includes everybody in this room. We have a tendency to say, well, the world, there's no fear of God in their eyes. Well, guess what? Without God's intervention, there is no fear of God in your eyes as well. The fear of God said, one of the commentators said, there's every joy, a reverential awe of him we have to do with chasten every joy and lift the soul out of its deepest depression. So that's really what happens in this. And we know from the Old Testament that every time somebody was face-to-face with God in any of his emanations, Christologies, or what did they think was going to happen if they saw God? They're going to go down. I wasn't a big fan of the Bible series that was on last year, but I tell you one thing I liked. When they showed those angels, I don't know if any of you watched, those angels were tough. Those angels were not these wussy little with flowing blonde hair and shimmering white. And they were soldiers. They looked like spiritual ninjas. And Jehovah Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts. They are armies. And so when that happened, Isaiah said in 6:5, then I said, woe unto me, for I am undone. The Hebrew there means I'm cut off, I'm destroyed, I'm perished. I'm done. I'm out of here. Why? I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's fear. That's fear. There was no fear, too. In Matthew 1:20, Joseph was told, don't fear. to take Mary as your wife, because as you know, at that point, he could have put her away. I mean, you imagine, he said, well, you know, your wife's pregnant and it's not you, but it was God. Yeah, sure. Who is this really? It's like that old Bill Cosby where he talks to Noah. Noah, he says, yeah, who is this really? Well, it really was God. He said, don't fear. Matthew 10:31, worrying about our day-to-day issues. He says, don't worry, don't fear. You have more value than many sparrows. I spoke on that a while back, even forced you to listen to me sing, his eye is on the sparrow, for I know he watches me. Luke 2:10, one of the greatest fear nots you're ever going to read. Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The word good tidings is the word euangelios, the good news. There is nothing better than that. That unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ Lord. So don't fear. I've got great news for you. Romans 8:15 says, you haven't received the spirit of bondage. The word there is the word for slavery, to fear. But of adoption, the word there means a placing of sons. So we don't have the... There's another no fear. So you see, there's a lot of no fears. It means a placing of sons, an adoption, a Christian sonship. Obviously, that's men and women. That's a generic term. We also read in 1 Timothy 1:7, we haven't been given the spirit of fear. I don't know about you. I will occasionally get fearful. Later on today, I want to talk about trust. I'm not very trustworthy at times. I would like to be, and I aspire to it, but, you know, I slip up. And I read that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Now, that word for fear is not phobos. It's the word deleia. It means timidity. But of power, that's dynamic. Of love, that's agape. And a strong mind really means self-control. So God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Because Hebrews 13 said, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. The word there, that's a great word, boethos. It literally means somebody calls out and they run immediately. You know, they call out and he's there. As a matter of fact, we read in Scripture that before we speak our words, God already knows them. Sometimes that's not so good. But there's really, really no fear there. There's another sign out there. You might have seen this one, too. Now, nobody seems to own this sign, as near as I can tell. I can't find anybody who owns it, so I think this is one of those knockoffs. You know, anytime there's something popular, you know, they rip them off. When I lived in New York, there were a lot of knockoffs. You could buy a Rolex for $5 on Broadway. Well, I'm pretty sure it wasn't it looked like a Rolex. I wouldn't let it out in the rain. Actually, I used to buy, if it rained, I just bought a street umbrella. They were a dollar. You know, they got you to the place, and if they broke and you just got another one. It was not a problem. So, fear this. I can't find out who owns this. But isn't it interesting? The moment somebody comes up with no fear, which is ultimate, as a matter of fact, they talked about it earlier. They said common themes include no fear of death, you know, energy, contempt for social norms. Like, it's really in-your-face kind of stuff. If you Google it online with images, you'll see all kinds of pictures of angry eyes staring at you. And I've seen it a lot, usually in these big vehicles that pass me like I'm in a parking lot. You know, make the car shudder. Well, somebody said, okay, and they said it was American Lifestyle brand, created in 1989, sold at various retail stores, energy drinks, joint venture with Pepsi. They have about 450 people, and of course, they declared bankruptcy, and they've been going ever since because you can't get the stuff. Well, the minute somebody said that, somebody said, well, fear this. Where has anybody seen this on a vehicle? Maybe I'm the only one on the bypass. What kind of vehicle is it on? Big, monster trucks like you need a stepladder to get in. I mean, they said, well, I'm telling you right now, you say no fear. I say fear this. So once again, it's very much in his face. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking all these things we saw earlier. There's so many of them. There's definitely, God says, don't fear. Don't worry. I haven't given you a spirit of fear, of timidity. He said, I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. We're actually going to see that later on today. You have power. You've got love. You've got discipline. He said, Lord is my helper. He's there for me whenever I call. I'm not going to fear. But then again, maybe we should fear sometimes. You know, and reverence is certainly part of it. I want to revere God, most certainly. I once read that if you never laid prostrate in front of God, you've never been in front of God, because God is awesome. That's a great word that we don't understand anymore. I've talked about it before. Awesome really means full of awe. We say awesome, oh, that was, did you have that dessert last night? That was awesome. No, it was good. It was very good, perhaps. Maybe sometimes there is some fear. So I'm thinking, fear this. Well, what do we fear? Well, fear shows up in God's Word. It does. Interestingly enough, as much as we are told not to fear, the power of timidity, of a sound mind, and don't fear not, and God spoke directly to people, who at that point were probably scared out of their wits. I know I would have been. Burning bush. The pillars. Fire. From God's view, well, Proverbs, Psalms 110:10, and Proverbs 9:10 both say, well, you want to get smart? Fearing God's a good start. It doesn't say it's a good start. It says it's the good start. I think one of the biggest problems probably happened in the church today is we're not scared anymore. We don't have a lot of fear. About now, we're going to talk later about the flip side of this, but the point is, it's a good example of why sin is such an important topic to discuss. It's frequently ignored. That's such a downer. That's so negative. Can't we find something nice to talk about? RB Theme used to talk about pastors with wavy hair and a mouthful of teeth. You know, they just sound real. I always think of, well, you know what I think of when I say that. But they just, and it's very uplifting. God's uplifting, but you know what? I talked about the importance of the bad news. You'll never know the good news until you understand the bad news. I was out doing some training the other day, and I was listening. I think I told men's class about this. I was listening to a guy. I really can't tell who it is. I don't recall his name, but he was speaking to a group of students in a university. He says, I'm going to tell you something really shocking, really upsetting. And I just want to warn you ahead of time before I say this, that this is an awful thing I want to share with you. He's going on and on. And finally, one of the students speaks. So, okay, fine, we get it. What is it? He says, God is good. What's so bad about that? He says, very simple. God is good, and you're not. You want to fear? There you go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And also in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We are so smart. We can figure all kinds of things out, you know, and we've all these brilliant things, and I'm amazed at man's ability. He never knows where it comes from. And he falls back. We read in Romans 1 that we're without excuse. Why? Because God's all around us. We know. We'll talk about it, I think, more in third. Or it might be in Sunday school. I forget. It's in one of my three sets of notes today. That really, when we do wrong, we know it. You don't do wrong in front of people, do you? You hide. You do it in the dark. Or you close the door. Or you make sure, yeah, because we don't want to be found out. Because deep down, where it really counts, the Gentiles' conscience served as a law. Now, over the course of time, it becomes seared. And then pretty soon, you do a lot of this, well, it's not all that bad. Well, no, it isn't. Do you know that all the sin that's in the world now showed up for one reason, Adam ate a piece of fruit he wasn't supposed to. That's not such a bad thing. I mean, really. But what came out of that? Murders. Horrific thing. You can just pick up the paper any day or click on the internet, and that's the stuff that sells, right? But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Matthew 10:28 says, you want to fear? I'll show you what to fear. He said, fear those that can destroy. The word there is apolemy. Apollyon comes from that. It means to obliterate, put it to totally ruin. You want to fear somebody. You don't fear somebody who can kill the body, because the body's just, you know, just a shell. My cousin, when my uncle, who's a bow tie man, by the way, passed away, he was buried. He was a doctor. We buried him at the Fort Indiantown Gap. And Jeff, my younger cousin, he's the eldest on the other side. He spoke. He said, "Dad's not here. This is just his skin suit." I always remembered that. That was an interesting description. It was just a skin suit. If somebody messes up the skin suit, and by the way, Father Time messes it up too. You may have noticed that. It could destroy that. That's no problem. But can destroy the soul and send it to hell. Only one has that power, and it's not Satan. That's where Satan's going. That's God. So you want to fear. That's where you're going to fear. A very, very strong word. So put out of the way, to abolish, put an end to ruin. In Luke 23:40, the thief at the cross. They're chastising Christ. He's going through this horrible time. And one thief is cursing him too. And the other thief says, "Don't you fear God?" See, he knew he did wrong. And he knew that blessed gentleman between the two of them had not. He said, "Don't you fear God? Because you're in the same condemnation." The words there is krima. It means the decision. In other words, we're done. We belong here. And if you would fear God, you'd zip it up right now. And of course, his faith called him to paradise. But that was a fear. Romans 11:20. I want to go back a couple verses on that. This is an interesting one. This is Paul talking to the Gentiles. See, I guess we're mostly all Gentiles here. I don't know if you follow us back. Maybe we've got some Jewish blood in us, but we're mostly we're Goyim. And Paul is introducing the mysterion, the mystery gospel. The fact that Gentiles are going to be grafted into the olive tree. They're not supposed to be it. We're God's chosen. What are they doing here? The word for Gentiles used the word kune, dogs. I mean, they were considered, you know, worse than worse. When Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, that was an atrocity. You don't talk to those people. You don't want to be around them. And so what do the Gentiles start to do? They start to get a little full of themselves. And in Romans 11:18-20, Paul says this, "You better not boast against those branches." I mean, the branches are the original ones of the olive tree of the Jews. "But if you boast, you don't bear the root." And this is, I love Paul. He says, okay, let me get this straight. Are you bearing the root, or is the root bearing you? I mean, how come you're still standing up? Does that have anything to do with you? It has to do with the root that's dug into the ground that's holding up that plant. Well, clearly the answer is the root. You're being, by the way, the root of Jesse is Jesus. He said, "Do you bear the root as root bear you? The root thee." 11:19 says, "You'll say the branches were broken off so I could be grafted in." See? It's almost like the old Smothers Brothers. "Mom loved you more than me," right? Well, see, God loved the Gentiles because he cut off the Jews and he put us in. We didn't get it, did we? What does 11:20 say? Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Apostia, they didn't have belief. and you stand by faith. Don't get so full of yourself. Don't be high-minded. The word there means be lofty in mind. It's a huge word. Hupsilo phroneo. I mean, phroneo is the thought. That it just kind of builds on there. Don't be so full of yourself, because it could happen to you too. You are there by the grace of God alone. There's nothing special about you. As a matter of fact, in a real sense, historically, there's something much more special about the nation of Israel, not because they're great folks, but because God picked them. So, you need to fear. Philippians 2:12, John's talked about this too, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we know for a fact you don't participate in your salvation. The word there is katergazomai, and it means to, it really means to show it. I always think of James. James, the straw epistle, according to Luther. He didn't care for James because James looks like it takes works. Well, what James said was, if you have faith, I want to see something. Your works will be the result of your faith. Your faith isn't a result of your works. So we are flipping it. And that's why Luther didn't care for it and called it the straw epistle. He said, literally, because he knew it's salvation by faith alone. But also we read here that you need to be constantly contributing. We talk a lot about sanctification, growing more and more like Christ. How do you do that? Study His Word. Jesus said to God, sanctify them, that's the word hagias, to create a saint, sanctify them in your word is truth. By the way, that word really annoys people. It occasionally annoys me. I don't know if you ever had that experience, but I will occasionally read things that I would, if I was Thomas Jefferson, I'd have clipped that out because, frankly, it was entirely too convicting. But that's God's word. So work it out. Hebrews 11:7, Noah had a job. Why did he do it? He was moved with fear. The word there actually means to be apprehensive. Eulabeomai. He said, faith Noah, being warned of things is not seen yet, it didn't happen yet, was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, in which God condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So that was fear. That fear can motivate, the right kind of fear. Here's one of my favorite ones, Hebrews 12. Contrasting Sinai and the holy mountain that's coming. There's some great words in here. Look at this in Hebrews 12:18. It says, you're not come to a mount that might be touched. I mean, we can't go up and touch. By the way, you didn't want to touch Mount Sinai, did you? If an animal did, they pulled the plug. So, but we haven't come to a mountain that might be touched. It burned with fire, nor blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, 12:19, which they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken anymore. No more! We don't... No, shh, hush up. Be quiet. The word was so powerful. They feared it. We can't hear it anymore. They could not endure that which was commanded. Neither can we. We aspire to. We can't endure that which was commanded. If so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Or thrust through with a dart. I guess Peter wouldn't like that very much, right? I mean, Pacific. And look at 12:21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Use the Greek word phobos. See, phobos is in there, right there. Fear, and ek means out of. He was frightened out of his wits. Don't tell me that as Christians, we should not at times fear God. Frightened out of his wits. No fear? Fear this. So, fear from God's word? Yeah. You probably thought of this verse. First one I thought of when I saw these signs and thought about it. From the world's view, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Phoberos. See phobia in there? Fearful, paralyzing. I don't know if you guys spend much time on the internet. I may spend a little too much more time than I want, but it's holiday time, right? It's Halloween. So people pay money to be scared out of their wits. They go to these places. There's a new show on my satellite called Making Monsters. This is a company out in the Midwest, and all they do is make scary stuff. I mean, disgusting, guts spilling out, and zombie. And these guys are talented, but I'm telling you, this is stuff. I don't know how they sleep nights. And then they go to shows where they want to, you know, sell them. You know, it costs a lot of money. Anyway, this one, this guy is being electrocuted, and this guy's actually a guy is in a suit, and he's upside down. His hands are in the air, and those are his feet, and it's on the ground are his hands, and there's a head down. So it looks, and it's designed so when they turn the electrocution on, then the man jumps out at the crowd right in the middle of the convention. I don't know if you've seen any of these, but it's very popular now. You can go online and see pictures. They snap pictures. You know when you go down the scary rides at Hershey Park? Well, they'll take pictures of you when the monster comes out. And you see the faces on these people? And I'm thinking, now they paid for that. Okay. That is nothing compared to this. Nothing. And then they go, oh, that was great. I was never so scared in my life. Hey, you want to get scared? Show up at the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, happily, you guys aren't coming. It's fear this. Fear this. That's fear. But you know what? That is a beautiful verse. You know why? There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out. The word there is balo. It just chucks it away. It's where we get ballistics from. It just throws it away. The fear has torment. That means punishment. I've heard comers say, I'm here to tell you God's not mad at you anymore. Well, as a Christian, that's kind of true. There's nothing I can do to have God love me more. There's nothing I can do to have him love me less. It just can't happen. Why? Because he sees me in Christ. There's no fear to be found in the arms of our loving Father. I think that's what no fear is. So when I see the sign, live fearless, I'd like to. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word, for the gift of power and love and discipline, for the fact that we can fall into the hands of a loving God, and it's not a terrible thing. It's a beautiful thing. Help us understand that. Help us to seek to share that and demonstrate to others in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.